engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the book of the prophet Malachi. Thus says the Lord God, Lo, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. And suddenly there will come to the temple the Lord whom you seek, and the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. Yes, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like the refiner's fire, or like the fuller's lye. He will sit refining and purifying silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi, refining them like gold or like silver, that they may offer due sacrifices to the Lord. Then the sacrifice of Judah and Jerusalem will please the Lord, as in the days of old, as in years gone by. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, you ancient portals, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. Lift up, O gates, your lintels. Reach up, you ancient portals, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Who is this King of glory? It is the Lord. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since the children share in blood and flesh, Jesus likewise shared in them, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who through fear of death had been subject to slavery all their life. Surely he did not help angels, but rather the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every way, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest before God to expiate the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested through what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. The Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. A light of revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days were completed for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Just as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons, in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. 40 days already since Christmas. This is the feast, sort of like a post-Christmas feast and celebration of the child that was born for us, the child who was announced by the glorious choir of angels at Christmas midnight, a light to the world, again as revealed in the Epiphany. But this, the presentation, we see Mary and Joseph fulfilling the law, the custom that was in place, the ritual of presenting to the Lord every male child, presenting to the Lord at the temple in Jerusalem. What a deep mystery this is today, because, of course, first of all, it shows us that Mary and Joseph, knowing that this baby was the Messiah, the Savior, the Lord, nevertheless, did not consider themselves outside the law or above the law. They followed the law. And this child wrote the law. This is interesting. They fulfilled the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, and meanwhile, the child is the Lord. And you have a presentation, this notion of consecrating to the Lord, presenting to the Lord, reveals a deep truth about all creation. We all came from the Lord. God made everything out of nothing. He did not have to make everything. So just by the fact that we were created by His free gift of love means we belong to Him. Offering ourselves to Him, offering one's child to Him, offering to Him everything we do and have and are and want to be is an acknowledgement of a truth that is already there. You know, we say it in our American patriotic system, you know, one nation under God. And some people don't want to acknowledge the under God part, but the fact of the matter is, this is not just something that we choose. It's a fact. The nation, in fact, every nation and every mountain and ocean and river and every grain of sand is already under God. Of course we are under God. That's what it means that He is God. But to say under God, as we say in our Pledge of Allegiance, or to bring the child to the temple to offer him to God, or to say a morning offering, is to acknowledge and freely consent to something that is already in place, that is already true. And here we have the mystery of the Lord Himself being presented to the Lord. You might say that all of the consecrations, all of the presentations, all of the offerings of children to the Lord in the temple, all the dedications, all the offerings, in fact, of all the sacrifices in the liturgies mapped out in the Old Testament are fulfilled in this one. They are all imperfect offerings. We give to God who we are and what we have. But here's the perfect offering. God being presented to God. The eternal Son, consubstantial with the Father, being offered to the Father. Now, finally, the gift God receives is equivalent to himself. Every other gift he receives is far, far less than who he himself is. But this gift, this offering, is equivalent to who he is. For this son, this baby, this child, over whom Simeon and Anna marvel and proclaim to others, is God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And so what a perfect, you know what the presentation does? It shows us in real time, it shows us in human history, what is actually always going on in God's eternity. Within the inner life of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are constantly giving themselves to each other. This is like a window into the eternal life of God. The Father begets the Son. This is the language we use. And the Father and the Son generate the Holy Spirit. But what you have here are three equal persons. There's only one divinity. There's only one Godhead. There's only one God. And yet three distinct persons, distinct in their relationships with one another. The pouring out, the giving, the receiving, the love. And here we see it played out at this dramatic moment of history when God is presented to God. And Mary and Joseph marvel because the Holy Spirit sent from that very child, the Spirit of that very child, inspires Simeon to recognize him. And Simeon's words actually are repeated every day by those of us who say the Liturgy of the Hours. Every priest has to say it, and many of you lay people say it as well. The Liturgy of the Hours has in night prayer every single night this canticle of Simeon. These are very familiar words. Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace. My eyes have seen your salvation. He is a light. That's why on this feast, in very many masses, candles are held and lit and blessed as a reminder that this child is a light for the nations. One who is offered and therefore establishes for us what you might call a spirituality of the presentation, a spirituality whereby everything we do, we consecrate to the Lord, we give to the Lord, everything we say. Let everything you have be offered to the Lord. And every day that you lived, Lord Jesus, I offer you today my sufferings, my joys, my accomplishments, my possessions. I offer it all to you. Our life is an offering to him. That was established in our baptism, not only our creation, but then our baptism, we were consecrated to God. We belong to him in an even deeper way. And so we renew that baptismal life every day. We say, Lord, I belong to you. Everything I do, I want it to be a stepping stone to you. Every situation, every circumstance, let me see you there. Shed light on the meaning of all my joys and sufferings. This is a presentation spirituality. It's especially, of course, demonstrated to us in the lives of those men and women who have deepened their consecration to God by renouncing marriage for the sake of the kingdom and by professing the evangelical counsels of poverty, chastity, and obedience. I'm talking about the many men and women religious of the many different religious communities across the breadth and depth of the church. And today, because it's a day when we focus on this meaning of consecration, of offering everything to the Lord, of belonging to the Lord, today is also the day, the world day of consecrated life. We give special thanks. We give special attention. We give special tribute, if you will, to the men and women religious. And we thank you for your example. Not only is it a path of holiness for you, it's a sign for all of us that in fact we belong to God. The religious, the consecrated religious, give up their possessions or their right to use their possessions in the way that most people do, as a sign that for all of us, Our possessions really do belong to God, and they're supposed to be tools for us to get closer to God, not to displease Him, not to go away from Him. By their taking a vow of obedience where they're not as free as the rest of us are to decide what we're going to be doing each day, they nevertheless remind us that in everything that all of us do each day, our will has to be united to the will of God. These consecrated religious renounce marriage not because marriage is evil, but because they're reminding us that even for those who are married, that marriage is meant to be a path of union to God and a symbol of the eternal marriage between Christ and His church. That in all of our love and in even having the privilege of using the holy and sacred gift of the physical intimacy of spouses and human sexuality in the service of love and of life, even there we are obeying and serving God, and we are expressing love for Him, not just for our spouse. All of this is so beautiful. The work and the life and the witness of consecrated religious is meant to be a sign, a reminder, a stimulus for all the rest of us in living out our common consecration to God, consecration by our baptism, and even more fundamental than that, again, by the fact that we are nothing without Him. In Him we live and move and have our being. He created us out of nothing, and we would return to nothing if He stopped thinking about us for one split second. The Feast of the Presentation. So many lessons here. Of course, the presentation of God to God, a perfect sacrifice, if you will, there in the temple. Remember, Jesus is the temple. He's the living temple. And He has built us into that temple as living stones, making a daily offering to Him. But this offering in the temple is, of course, pointing to that perfect sacrifice on the cross. It's all part of the same will, which is the love of Jesus, His determination, His decision to freely offer Himself for us. This is manifesting that. Even though He's still a little baby, He's the eternal God. So He's saying, yes, Father, I give myself to You because I have come to give myself to You on the cross for the salvation of the people. And that is what the Mass is. God offered to God. I will consecrate the bread and wine, and then I will say, Father, we offer You the bread of life and the chalice of eternal salvation. We offer You. Why? Because He offers Himself. Just like He did here, just like He did in the temple, just like He did at Calvary, just like He does on this altar, just like He wants to do in our lives. Lord, we rejoice in all of this. And we also recognize the sorrow that's involved. Because this will be a sign, Simeon said, that will be contradicted. And he said to Mary, a sword will pierce your heart. Why? Because you will see Him scourged and mocked and crowned with thorns and rejected in favor of Barabbas and nailed to a cross. And then His body will be removed from the cross and placed in your arms, and He will be placed in the tomb. But you will have, Mary, also the joy of Easter morning. But forget not that this is a sign that will be contradicted. He says, this child will not only be the rise of many in Israel, yes, because they see their Savior and they have redemption and they understand God's teaching, but it will be the fall, because He's the last best offer to humanity. Jesus is the last best offer of God to humanity for our fulfillment, our happiness, our salvation. You miss Him, you've missed it all. He's destined to be the fall of many in Israel, those who, because of their arrogance, will refuse to accept Him, even though the evidence will be before their eyes of the miracles, of the healing of the man born blind, of the raising of Lazarus, of the transforming of water into wine, all His miracles, the multiplication of the loaves. So many came to believe in Him as a result, but for some, it was a downfall. And the scandal of the cross, that was a downfall to those who refused to believe the promises of God. This is the last best hope that we have. In Jesus Christ, my friends, is everything. Miss that, reject Him, and you've lost it all. Thank you, Jesus, for this beautiful feast. May we present ourselves to you each and every day and each and every moment in all that we think and say and do and suffer and rejoice in. Join us with your offering every day at the Mass. Lord, at the conclusion of our earthly life, may we joyfully offer ourselves to you. And may this offering be our eternal joy in heaven, as day by day we give ourselves to you, the one true God, in the fulfillment of every sacrifice. May Jesus Christ be praised, now and forever. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.